message that you've placed in my heart. May your Spirit work in all our hearts, Father, that we may hear your word, we may understand it, apply it in our lives, Lord, that it may draw us closer to you, and help us in turn draw others close to you as well. Thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning. I am Pastor Dave Ryerson. I'm so new at this, it's hard for me to even say that. I'm not used to being a pastor yet. I filled in a lot, but it was always kind of as intern. And really grateful to be here, though, because it's been a long time coming, and it's been exciting to get up here, and I've been looking forward to this Sunday, but anytime you look forward to something, there's always some trepidation. And I will admit I'm torn this morning. And I'm torn on two parts, because first off, as I prepared to come up here this Sunday, I want to make a good first impression, don't we all? And you don't want to make a good first impression out of kind of a self-accolade or a praise kind of a thing, but you guys have gone a year now without a pastor. And you're excited for a pastor, and the last thing you want is the guy up here droning on and on, putting you to sleep, and you think, this is what we're stuck with now? So I don't want that to be me, but on the flip side, I don't want to hear if I did a good job, if I hopefully I do, because what you may not understand, the worst thing for a pastor to hear is, great sermon, pastor. Because if you don't say it next week, then I did something wrong. And it's true. You'll be like, okay, why was it good? And then after next week, you don't say anything. So I'm kind of torn because I hope to leave a good first impression, but I don't want to hear about it if I do. But I also know if I don't hear about it, I'm going to be all nervous and think I did a bad job. It was kind of like in radio, actually. This was always funny. My whole 20-year career, and it didn't matter where I lived, anytime you'd go out and about and somebody would meet you, they'd say to you, oh, you don't look anything like you sound. Stop and think about that for a second. That means I either look good and sound bad, or I sound good and look bad. It wasn't a winning thing to say. And they always meant right there. You understood that part. And a lot of times we can mean one thing, but it's not heard that way by the person who's hearing it. And that's what I want to talk about today, is speaking to the person that needs to hear what you have to say and doing it the right way. Because in life we'll hit many different situations, the highs and the lows, and where is somebody at, and how do I speak to the person where they're at? And Scripture gives us some great instruction on how to do that. Our sermon text today comes out of Romans 12, chapter 9 through 18. It starts with this: let love be genuine, abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. That section right there, if you saw it, is actually titled Marks of the True Christian. And it's a section that we're going to probably be spending a lot of time on. It's a section that we should recognize was written that we ourselves need to act in a certain way that the world can see us, to reflect this, to reflect God's character. But for today, I want to focus on just one verse out of this. Because it's one verse that I have seen basically play out perfectly over these last 2 weeks since arriving here, and that's verse 15. Rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. Because since coming here, I've seen both ends of it, and as Larry's prayer even was this morning, it was perfect. Frankly, it was basically the sermon today, so I should say amen and be done. But in Larry's prayer, he was very kind and gracious in showing appreciation that my family and I have arrived. And the celebration that's been going on here in getting a new pastor, but I'll be honest with you, that's actually been somewhat difficult to handle. it's been somewhat difficult to appreciate all the kindness and love that you've shown to us. You see, since arriving here, we had, I bet, at least 30 people help us to unpack a vehicle. And as you all know, that's when you find out who your true friends are on moving day. It's amazing how many true friends don't show up moving day, and you're like, okay, I'm to give a note of that. There was like 30 people there. It was actually more work maneuvering around the people that showed up than it was actually carrying boxes into the house. And the stocked pantries, that was the most thoughtful thing imaginable. Our pantries were stocked with toiletries, with condiments, with food. Because you all know how it is, anytime you travel somewhere and you've got a half-open container, the container tipping fairy comes in, unscrews the caps, puts them on twisted, and then tips it over. So when you get somewhere, you got shampoo, laundry detergent, whatever, all over the place. And we didn't have to worry about that. That was so thoughtful. And the number of people that stop by with food and to help out around the house, make sure that maintenance and everything was taken care of. People have taken us out on the lakes. Even Susie had to put up with me the last few days, neurotically up here. What do I do next? And I'm like walking through how to conduct the service. And you see, all these things that go on are so delightful and wonderful on your part, but I didn't know how to celebrate with it because I was so nervous. It stressed me out. The first week I was here, I probably got about 3 hours of sleep at night because I was staying up thinking, how do I repay everybody? You guys are so kind and so grateful that it was causing me a ton of stress because there's no way you can repay that much goodness. And I was mad at you at that point. But in all seriousness, that kind of stress led me to thinking that, well, how am I supposed to repay everybody? And then that built up more and more, and I can't repay everybody. And then it built up into I'm going to let them down. And I'm not kidding you, I actually had this thought. I got thinking to myself, because I know our 50th anniversary is coming up next May, I thought, you know what, I bet when the 75th anniversary comes around and they're talking about the history of the church, this is going to be the era they refer to as the mistake pastor. I was honestly thinking that kind of a thought. That's how convinced I was that I was going to let you all down. And I was struggling with that a lot, and God in his greatness, like he always does, provides us with the little things that we need at times. And I got a call from a pastor that I was ordained with, and he had started about 2 months ago. He said, hey, I know you're starting this week. How you doing? Let me start, you know? And I got started with it. And he just kind of chuckled the whole way through, and he said, yep, going through all those thoughts. And he's still just coming down from all the things that I was describing struggling with. And he said, Dave, I think I'm also at one of those churches where they're just so insanely grateful and filled with love and joy that I just was so caught up as well in how to pay it back. And then he said something that absolutely hit me hard. He said, but what has helped me realize that I don't have to pay it back? Okay, God's gift of grace and his son Jesus Christ is a free gift to all of us. And so if God can give us that free gift, and if I'm supposed to be up here every Sunday preaching to us all about appreciating and loving and honoring and being thankful for God's gift of love, then I should be able to appreciate and accept the gifts of love that were shown to me in his name. And it was so transformational in my own heart to recognize that God had blessed me in the last few weeks, and I was unable to rejoice in that and appreciate it. Instead, I should have been appreciating and being thankful for God's blessings through you. Because the body of Christ serves out of love. And love doesn't have a price on it. I got thinking, only one time has love ever had a price on it, and Christ paid that price for us. You know that? And so, thank you for the love, for the hospitality you've shown. And I'm not going to pay you back, all right? Hopefully what happens is if there's a point in time where you need me to be there for you, I am. Because that's what love is. Love doesn't say, you owe me. Love says, how can I be there for you, but thank you when you've been there for me. And so with the rejoice with those who rejoice, I realize that we ourselves, first off, have to learn to appreciate and be thankful for those seasons in our life when God's blessings are in abundance and appreciate them. Don't feel guilty. Don't hide from it. Don't be ashamed of it. Be thankful for that season. The second thing I also noticed out of this with rejoice with those who rejoice is maybe you know people that are in that season of rejoicing, that season of celebration. God's abundance is plentiful to them. Celebrate with them. Don't be that person that for some reason has to say, well, wait for the other shoe to drop. And we all know that person. And if you don't know that person is you. Don't be that person that brings down somebody else's joy, because first off, you don't know how long God intends on having someone go through a season of his blessings and abundance. Instead, we should celebrate with his love and his goodness with them. But the second part I got thinking is, if others are rejoicing, if your first thought is to kind of bring them down a little bit, to do some heart examination and wonder to yourself, why am I that way? Am I walking through life bitter, feeling that God owes me more, that you're not able to appreciate his goodness, even if it's to others? Because no matter how God has chosen to bless others shouldn't matter to us. No matter how difficult our life might seem at times, we should always be filled with the joy of the Lord. Because in Larry's prayer, that was that too, that no matter where we're at in our seasons in life, we should be filled with joy. We actually put it in the bulletin even, Psalm 63, verses 7 to 8. Let me read this for you again. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I will sing for joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. We'd always be singing for joy, trusting in the Lord. He's there with us. That's our strength. So it doesn't matter what kind of blessings you have in your life or what others have. Our joy comes from the Lord ultimately. That's what matters. And so that's the first part here of Romans 12:15, rejoicing with those who rejoice. But I've also seen over time here at this church, there's been mourning that's been going on. They're still grieving the loss of Carol. I know that jobs are going to be lost soon when the mines close. And I've met a lot of you over the last 2 weeks, and while there's a lot of joy, there's a lot of hurt with a lot of people here. A lot of different challenges in life. And so we have to mourn with those who mourn. And as we do that, I looked up one thing, and boy, you want to find a million articles. Google things not to say to somebody who's mourning. And all you see are lists of just trite little statements that really don't do anybody any good. Well, focus on the blessings in your life. Or they're in a better place. Or maybe, well, you need to move on now. It's been long enough. You know, maybe we know they're in a better place. But it doesn't change the fact they're not with us right now, and it hurts. And there will come a point in time again when we can focus on our blessings, but it's hard to see blessings through tears. And so when somebody is mourning, how do we respond to that? Well, why don't we look at how Jesus responded in the account of Lazarus? And they came to him weeping. How did Jesus respond? He wept. Why in the world would Jesus have wept when he knew what he was going to do? He knew he was going to raise Lazarus again. Did you hear him telling everybody, where's your faith? Get over it. What's the big deal? No. Instead, he allowed his spirit to grieve with them, and he wept. Why would Jesus have wept? John 11:33 was so clear. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. We have to do that when people are grieving. Let's allow our own spirit to be moved and to grieve with them. And there's other forms of grieving besides loss. As we all know, if we lose somebody that we love, that's a crushing blow, and that hurts so bad. But people can grieve in other ways. Talk to a parent of a wayward child. They're grieving daily. Talk to somebody who's fearing job loss, or has been without a job for a while, there's a lot of fear about the future. What about somebody who's dealing with chronic pain? They're just tired in life. You know that? We need to minister to those people in the way that we ourselves would want to be ministered to. The golden rule isn't just about doing good deeds. It should be applied to all things. And so if somebody is hurting in a certain situation, should you not be there for them in the way you would want somebody to be there for you in that same situation? And don't do what most guys try to do, and we try to fix the problem. Ladies, is that the problem in your house? You have an issue, you want to talk about it, and he wants to fix it. If Rachel and I have one argument that happens the most in our house, it's when I want to fix the problem. And she gets most mad when I try to justify why we try to fix the problem. Well, honey, if you're upset about something, if you fix it, you're not upset about it anymore. And that makes her really upset because she just wants me to listen. Because when we try to fix the problem, we're actually trying to tell somebody else how they need to feel. We're trying to control their feelings and emotions. And if you see in here, did Jesus try to fix the problem? Jesus could fix the problem, and he did. But he still didn't try to fix the problem. Instead, he wept with those who were weeping. And we as Christians should be known for our compassion. We should be showing compassion for others no matter what they're going through in life. Not just those that are hurting, but for the sick, for the poor, for the less fortunate, for all of God's children, we need to be known for our compassion. That's how the world sees us. Let's show that compassion through us. But lastly, with grieving, not just how we minister to others, but allowing ourselves to grieve. All I know is this much. Folks from the Midwest love to say good or fine when you ask them how they're doing. One or two responses, and that's all you're getting. How are you doing today? Good. And that's all you get from them. You know what? If a brother or sister in Christ, somebody who loves you, asks you how you're doing and you're hurting, tell them, you know what? Not great. And share with them. Because they love you, and they care for you. They want to pray with you. They want to be on that journey with you. That's how we love one another. That's what it means to be the body of Christ. What do we love to do when we grieve? Surround ourselves with people that love us. Again, let people know if you're hurting. Let them minister to you. Why? Because you love to minister to people that are hurting. So we love to say good, not let people help us out, but we always help other people. It's okay to let people help you. Because ultimately we know, and that's the great thing about being around other believers, they can assure us and remind us again of our hope in Christ. They can help us kind of, they understand enough to allow us our feelings here now, but also that hope that we have in Christ, that reminder that there's so much more that we look forward to. So I want to leave you sharing this from 2 Corinthians verses 1 to 3. Chapter 1, verses 3 to 5, sorry. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in our affliction, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. Our comfort is found in God's love and our hope in Christ. We know that. And we can share that with others. Because that hope that we have in Christ allows us to do more than just put our arms around somebody, pat them on the leg, and say, there, it'll be okay. Instead, we can offer hope. We can offer hope and the assurances that we have in eternity with our Heavenly Father because of the love He has shown us through our faith in Jesus Christ. And instead of that empty, there, it'll get better, what we can do is we can tell people this promise that we have in knowing, all right, that our mourning on this earth is only temporary, but our rejoicing in heaven will be forever. I'd ask that you join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the instructions that you have given to us in your word and the marks of a true Christian. Father, may this be how we live our lives, that we live our lives sanctified, following in the ways that Jesus showed us, that you instructed us, Lord. May the love and compassion that you have for us shine through us for others, that we can draw them to you, Lord. May your Spirit always fill us, strengthening us, helping us to see and know every circumstance of what people are going through, that when they're rejoicing, we can rejoice with them. When they're mourning, we can mourn with them, Father, that we may always show the love of Christ. We thank and praise you in his name. Amen. Ask that you join me right now in our closing hymn number 43.